Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. Third hour of the Bob Rose Show begins. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:07. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Still your top story nationwide, mid-air collision, Reagan International Airport, a regional jet carrying 63 passengers from Wichita, Kansas, collided with a helicopter, Army Black Hawk. And as they reported top of the hour, and I'm looking for something else that echoes that, but didn't they say they believe there's no survivors?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so it's no longer a search and rescue mission. Awful, tragic event. J.D. Vance came out, you know, prayers for the families and all those involved. The president came out and thanking first responders. And, of course, there'll be a full investigation of what went down and why. And just a very tragic event.
And you're going to see, just kind of be aware too, you're going to see a lot of video with incorrect descriptions. You're going to see a lot of stuff on the internet. You're going to see a lot of fake news. Just be aware of that and don't just hit share, please. I've already seen some stuff this morning. They were, you know, showing the video and saying, it looks like that helicopter chased the airplane and ran into it. Well, the plane hit the helicopter. The helicopter was hovering a couple hundred feet off the ground, and they were advised the plane was coming in. They were asked if they saw it. They said they did. They were told to keep an eye on it and then come in behind, but then apparently the speculation is maybe they had targeted at some point or got distracted and targeted the wrong lights as to what they were watching.
Right.
And then got hit. So
had eyes on the wrong plane, possibly.
Yeah, well, and again, there were still night vision going on, as you talked about, and that's a busy airport even at that hour.
Mm-hmm.
Just the deluge of lights, you know, is
all around
you
that.
Can't imagine unless you've been there.
And a reflection off the water of the Potomac River.
It's so much going
it,
on
it
there.
It does. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yep.
And there's another major airport, what is it, Dulles, right down the, mm-hmm. so that the air traffic there. I mean, it's, serious airspace, a lot going on. All right. So, contentious battle going on in Tallahassee.
Ooh.
And we're going to have Governor Ron DeSantis on in less than an hour, and we're going to talk about this. The legislature passed a new bill, and it supports a lot of what Governor DeSantis asked for, but a lot of other stuff is either missing or thrown in there. And one of the things this bill would do is it would move state-level immigration enforcement and federal immigration coordination under the office of Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. And here's the problem with that. Apparently, his track record dealing with immigration is not so strong. And remember, think about his title. Ag Commissioner.
Right.
So let's boil this down. Let's get to what may really be behind this. We talk about these weak-kneed Republicans. Why are they giving the governor a bill that is less than super strong and solid to deal with illegal immigration?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cheap labor. That's what it boils down to. Labor for ag, labor for big sugar. Okay? That's what I believe this is. I'll ask the governor, but that's what this is boiling down to. Because why wouldn't they want to be strong on immigration?
Right.
There's only one reason: because of the cheap labor that has been available because of lax immigration laws. Now look, and there's a workaround for that, but you know, I guess they don't want to. I don't know. Maybe under Trump they'll find a way. It's you know, a work permit is what it's called,
mm-hmm.
and we issue a lot of those to people that live in other countries to come here temporarily and to work. And then after a period of time, they're expected to go home. And whoops, years ago, we had then Congressman Ted Yoho talk exactly about that. He knows, you know, part of his thing, he was a large animal doctor. So he knew people in the ag community. And they said, yeah, we need people that will actually do this job. And we don't have a ton of money to spend on it. And he talked about that increasing, you know, work permits, legally being here, legally working, paying whatever applicable taxes or whatever. And that's what they need to do. Not just have a soft immigration policy that they could take advantage of, because if big ag and big sugar's taking advantage of it, it's taken advantage of by bad guys, drug cartels, gangs. And that's what we're seeing. And they're getting more and more organized as time goes on. So this needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. I also told you about, you know, the health care costs and the ramifications from all these illegals receiving health care and the government paying for it. We just simply can't afford this issue to continue. And so this bill they presented the governor with is way too weak. And to put the powers into the office of the ag commissioner does not make sense, no matter who that ag commissioner would be.
No.
In my opinion, no.
You're wanting a totally unbiased perspective on immigration.
Look, everybody in the legislature knows exactly how strong Governor DeSantis is about immigration. They know it. They know he said publicly many times he wants to follow and be a leader in the Trump model of dealing with illegal immigration. So, yeah, this is their way of taking some power away from the governor, trying to get their way, looking out for their lobbyists, that highly paid lobbyists spending lots of money. And some of these look, do you know what they pay like a state senator? You know what they get? It's like $39,000 a year. That's what they get.
Yeah.
Okay? Think about the important people in your community that run for these positions. Are they doing it for the money? Not for that paycheck. But if there's a little side hustle going on, then all of a sudden, well, maybe it makes sense. And I'm not afraid to say it. Now, look, I'm not going to point to individuals. I don't have the evidence to back that up. But you can bet that I'm right on this. And we'll get to the heart of it. And we'll ask the governor. And, you know, I don't think he's the kind of guy. He's not going to mince words.
No, he's not.
No. I'll lay it out there the best I can. And I have a feeling the governor's going to pick right up on it and run with it. Mm-hmm. And he needs to call out some of these people. And we need to look at some of their financials, quite honestly, to see, are they taking money? Oh, yeah, this is totally legal. It was a speaker's fee. I was paid $100,000 to appear, you know, in front of the ABC group.
Yeah, but you're looking at, contrast that, the scenario you were talking earlier with the whole RFK Jr. thing. You got, Lizzie Warren up there just grilling him, saying, hey, he's going to do this and take advantage of it for the money. And yet she's gotten how many millions?
She received
her campaign?
Millions and millions of just for her part of her presidential campaign.
Right.
So what else? Yeah. What other rewards are there? Yeah. And remember how the Democrats work, man. What they accuse you of?
Yeah.
They're probably already guilty of it.
And really good at it, probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
RFK Jr. says, Democrats who used to be my friends only oppose me because of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Time is now to enter the 27th annual Bob Rose Golf Scramble. We've been doing this for years. It's always a great time for a great cause. Friday, April 4th, Hawkstone Golf and Country Club. Call right now, Mark Johnson, and get your spot, your foursome, 352-246-3516, and I'll see you out there. We will have a blast once again for the ARC Alachua. You know, when you've been doing this for a while, talk radio, it ends so often, too often, unfortunately, with the statement, follow the money. Mm-hmm. That seems to be what's taking place with the Florida legislature. And that's clearly what's taking place with health care in our country, or the lack thereof, depending on who you ask. It is 8:19, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We heard from Dr. John, actually came in the studio. It's the first time I got to meet him face-to-face. What great information he shared with us. And if you missed that interview, you don't have to miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show. Look for the Bob Rose Show podcast, and all you do is download it like you would any other podcast, and then click subscribe. And it is all good from there. The top story is the plane helicopter crash in that happened at Reagan Airport, and it appears that they don't believe there's any more survivors, that there's any survivors. Terrible tragedy, and of course we'll get more information as the day progresses, but just terrible. RFK Jr., my goodness, you would think he was a, a combative enemy of the state, the way he was treated.
But they haven't used the word Hitler yet. I guess they got worn out on that with Trump.
No, I mean, they went just about,
pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Bernie Sanders.
You have started a group called the Children's Health Defense. You're the originator. Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfacts Unafraid.
I have no power over that organization. I'm not part of it. I resigned from the board.
That was just a few months ago. You founded that. You certainly have power. You can make that call. Are you supportive of this?
I've had nothing to do with
Are you supportive of these onesies?
I'm supportive of a vaccine.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is an organization he helped fund. He was on the board. He resigned from the board. Any decisions made after that point, you can't hold him accountable. No. What's he supposed to do? He's kind of busy for one thing, but he's supposed to go, don't do that onesie thing. That's going to irritate people. Oh, hell no. It is about challenging the status quo. It's about free speech. I mean, that clearly, I would turn it right back around on Bernie Sanders and say, so you have an issue with free speech? It's not like your government and your vaccines that were mandated and forced upon people. People have a choice whether they want to buy that onesie for their baby or grandbaby out of their own free will, out of their own pocket. See, that's the difference. But they don't want free speech if it disagrees with their official line. What does that sound like? Official party line. The Communist Party? That's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah. So let's go on. They're attacking him again.
You have previously falsely suggested that the polio vaccine killed many, 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 many more people than polio ever did by causing fatal cancers.
The nominee wrote a book saying that people had been misled into believing that measles is a deadly disease.
We've just had a measles case in Rhode Island. The first since 2013. And frankly, you frighten people.
Have they covered all the diseases yet, Bob?
Not quite, but they're working on it.
Okay.
Look, you uncover some things that don't make sense. You are not a scientist, so you cannot do a bunch of experiments to maybe figure out whether what you're saying is true or not. The reason to write a book, the reason to speak out, is to question the status quo. That's part of science. Otherwise, when would there ever be an advances in science? Because there would be a bunch of things like, you can't do that, or you can't do this. Well, what if we do this first, or do that first? I mean, you're closing the door. And so that's unscientific. They can't defend that.
But we were told the science was settled.
Well, yeah, see that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here's the problem. It is information. Why are they so afraid of information? You write a book. So somebody writes a book on something. Say, hey, here's how I lost weight.
Right.
I ate nothing but hot dogs and ice cream, and I lost 100 pounds.
Right.
Now, a reader might read that, and they might try that diet. They might not. But you decided you were going to purchase that book. You took in that information. You decided to act on it. Five of your friends read it. They go, this guy's an idiot.
Right.
All right. That's the thing is They want to squelch and control information. And that's bad because their narrative is not always going to be right. In fact, most of the time, it won't be completely factual. So then people begin what? Not to trust the government. Mm-hmm. So when we do have a major issue, a major concern, and the government says you need to do this, people are going to be a lot less likely to do it now than they would have before COVID hit. And, you know, they don't talk a lot about it. But do you remember when initially they said we're going to lock it down for 2 weeks? What was it? Bend the curve or something? Do you remember that?
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve.
You'll be in church by Easter. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What was the next thing out of my mouth when they said that? 2 weeks, my arse.
Yes.
I said, never, ever, ever. I guarantee, I'll bet you any amount of money, it will be more than 2 weeks. I would put everything on it.
You did. And you were right, to say the least.
I go, no, this is going to go on and on and on. And honestly, it went on even a lot longer than I thought.
Well, and at some level, it's still going on.
Well, yeah,
they're still promoting vaccines and boosters. And
I mean, I never thought that it would get to the point where they'd start trying to mandate it for children. I just said that they can't be that evil. They just can't be that stupid.
Yeah,
a combination of stupid and
evil.
They're
going to come home and kill grandma. That's what they told us.
Oh, my God.
They're little carriers,
those
kids.
Keep the kids out of school and all that. A 6-foot rule. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. How should we make it? I say 4 feet. Oh,
that's not enough.
Hey, Tony, what do you say? I say 10 feet. Yeah. And Louie, what do you say? Yeah, I say 5.5 feet. All right, let's throw all the numbers in there. Yeah, looks like 6 foot wins. There it is.
It's six foot.
Ding.
But see, you joke about that. They basically said it was a random number.
Yes.
It was not based on science.
Right. I'm not joking.
But the thing about going one way down the aisle at the grocery store, that was based on. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, with the grocery store. Yeah. One way.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a beautiful thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. During the confirmation hearing, Kennedy said he hopes to end the chronic disease epidemic, which is the crux of his Make America Healthy Again movement. Remember, this is going to be the focus of what his job entails. He's been sharply criticized. He criticized the malignant influence of healthcare companies. He believes it's made America more sick. President Trump has asked me to end the chronic disease epidemic and make America healthy again. If we don't solve chronic disease, Senator, all of the other disputes we have about who is paying and whether it's insurance companies, it's providers, HMOs, whether it's patients or families, all of those are moving deck chairs around the Titanic.
Ooh, good line.
We have the highest chronic disease burden of any country in the world. This is an existential threat economically, to our military, to our health, to our sense of well-being, and it is a priority for President Donald Trump. Amen, brother. Yep. And there are those that don't want their gravy train messed with. They don't want their cheese moved. That's what it boils down to. Governor Ron DeSantis on the show in about 30 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere. It is the Bob Rose Show with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Another day in paradise, my friends. Make the best of it. It is 8:33. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And happy Thursday. Terrible tragedy occurring, Reagan International Airport, midair collision. There was a regional jet flying in from Wichita, Kansas, and collided with a helicopter, an Army helicopter, Black Hawk. And it appears that everybody on board has perished. It's no longer search and rescue. Just an awful tragedy, and I'm sure they'll untangle whatever the issues were that created that scenario and what went wrong, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a tough one, but the president's already come out. And one of the things he said, he thanked the first responders, and I'm sure he'll speak more about it later. J.D. Vance came out and said, you know, hey, let's pray for the families of these victims and go from there. We've got Governor Ron DeSantis going to be on the air with us in about 30 minutes. And it's a huge issue right now. The Florida legislature passed a bill, sent it to the governor, and it was very weak. And one of the things it also did was it would move state-level immigration enforcement and federal immigration coordination under the office of Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson, establishing him as the state's chief immigration officer. I mean, that's basically performing a little bit of surgery on the governor, is what they're doing. But I think it's much, much bigger than some kind of power play. Like, well, we'll show you, governor, and vice versa. Governor DeSantis knows what the issues are in terms of immigration, and he's willing to not just work closely with the Trump administration, but to be kind of a lead dog and to show the other states how it's done. But you can't do that, apparently, the way this thing was written. And I'll let the governor explain that in his own words, and we'll ask him what he wants to see in the bill. Because apparently this thing passed, but not to the point to where it's veto-proof at all. So we'll talk to him about that. And, you know, it's interesting. Let's be weak on immigration at the same time when the president, literally his first signing of a bill into law, was signing the Laken-Riley Act yesterday, honoring the 22-year-old nursing student Laken-Riley, who was viciously murdered by an illegal alien and gang member, Jose Antonio Ibarra, back on February 22nd in Athens, Georgia. So this law requires Department of Homeland Security to detain illegals who have been arrested, charged, or convicted of burglary, theft, shoplifting, or larceny, and get them off the streets and out of the country before they commit a more heinous crime, right? And why isn't the Florida legislature... Why don't they have a clue? It's follow the money, I think. They want cheap labor for big ag and big sugar, I think, is at the heart of it. That's what I'm seeing so far. And I'll be corrected if that's not. And happily, if you know better. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Bob? Hey, Greg. The Ron DeSantis, he was on the Glenn Beck show yesterday, and he made the comment. He said, it looks like Wilton Simpson is a kind of a power play, because he has designs on the governorship in 2 years when Ron DeSantis steps down. And unfortunately, he also has a lot of people in the Republican Senate that have decided that they want to support him in that regard. So it's kind of a power play. And it's kind of a, hey, I'm going to play to my ag components, too. But anyway, it's just, and that's what Ron DeSantis said. And they even made a joke about calling it the Trump law, when it basically gave all, and there was no teeth to the bill at all. So anyway, have a great day.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for the insight there. I think everything that you just said is exactly right. My understanding is, and I don't have his record in front of me, but I guess when he was in the, you know, in the legislature, Wilton Simpson's record on immigration isn't great. But again, I don't have it right in front of me. But that's what I'm understanding. So those who look, if you want labor to come in that's cheap, that's foreign, you do it through a work permit, a work visa. We've been doing that for years. And if that needs to be expanded on and that makes sense, then let's do that. Don't just water down immigration, because you're watering down the ability to protect American citizens, and it's wrong. Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and Randy, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, not to go into the rabbit hole too much, but yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And also, don't forget to add on the developers. We're seeing all these issues with the FWC Commission and all the developers that are all behind it, all that special interest, destroying our farmlands, destroying all the land, trying to just build and build and build. And if DeSantis really wants to get to the heart of this, cut the banking routes for all these companies and all the illegals that are being able to cash checks. The banks are making buku bucks off of them with their accounts. That's how you stop it. Stop them from being able to cash these checks getting paid, and you'll see how this all goes away, and then we can have regulated immigration.
That very interesting. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. I think if they don't get help from the banks, then they go to those check cashing places. But maybe there's a way to address that as well. You know, they're a lot. Well, they charge you a huge fee to cash a check for you now. But to deal with it that way, good. But you said something about developers. And again, we've had Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson on the air many times. And he really pushes and promotes, it seems, this family farm idea of extending that and keeping it, you know, a farm by buying the rights from the landowner. Basically, you do business as usual. You still own this farm, but you do not have the right to develop it or sell it to developers. It will always, in perpetuity, remain farmland.
Now they add every year. I mean, they
and he's been pushing to increase the budget on that. So, you know, he seems to be very pro-ag. Mm-hmm. And again, then you wonder, is he a little too pro-ag and wants to be weak on immigration so that they can continue to have cheap ag labor?
Well, he's scheduled to be on the show next Wednesday morning, so I'm sure you'll have an interesting conversation with him.
Well, and we've got Governor DeSantis on this morning.
Yes.
And that's in about 20 minutes or so. And we'll ask him, ourselves, what's the deal? What's the deal? Let's think about something beautiful, nice, and pretty. Yes. How'd you know?
Was that right?
He pointed to the picture of Melania Trump, which the people at Vogue are attacking her. The magazine Vogue, a fashion reporter, attacking her and this black and white portrait. Why?
It's very classy.
This is a perfect example of people in all walks of life now who uses whatever job they have. You're a fashion writer, but you think it. You've got it. What can I do? What can I do to save planet Earth? What can what can I do to hate on Trump? It's like you write for a fashion magazine. You know, why wouldn't you do what you do? But I can use what I do to push an agenda. This is a case of Trump hate. Clearly, and Trump derangement syndrome, but it is a great example of it because she doesn't really. Here's what she said. She said Trump, Melania, looked more like a freelance magician than a public servant. This was the writer Hannah Jackson. And in her piece, she said Trump looked more like she was guest starring on an episode of The Apprentice than assuming the role of First Lady of the United States, adding that the black and white photo looks like as though the First Lady is trying to convey, you're fired. Trump's clothing, she said, certainly didn't help the boardroom look. The fashion writer continues, and then she's critiquing Melania Trump's Dolce & Gabbana tuxedo jacket and Ralph Lauren cummerbund and trousers, attacking her choice to wear a tuxedo over a blazer or a blouse. Wait, was she one of those women that think, you know, women should have equal rights and should be able to do what they want to do? Not, you just better wear that dress today. You can't wear pants. Mm-hmm. That's for men. Really?
Yeah.
It, perhaps unsurprising that a woman who lived in a gold-encrusted penthouse, whose fame is so intertwined with a reality television empire, would refuse to abandon theatrics. The agenda, you're using your job to push an agenda. And you'd think, well, no, somebody's a fashion writer. I mean, what are they going to do? I honestly thought that maybe they were going to be nicer to Melania this time around. Like, the people have spoken.
Well, Jill Biden was on the cover more than once.
Yeah.
But yet they're criticizing someone who actually is a fashion model.
Apparently, Lady Gaga says she prayed for President Trump to lose his election.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's fine.
That's all right. You got your opinion, right?
Yeah. And she was speaking with another fashion magazine, Elle, UK division. The bad romance singer said that She has compassion for the many people who feel afraid of a new Trump term. See, now you're dealing in propaganda.
Yeah.
The main thing is I have so much compassion and love for so many people that are afraid today. The interview was conducted less than a week after Trump won the election. And again, where does that come from? People are afraid?
Propaganda?
Is that based on any reality? The guy was president before.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
If anything, you should be less afraid because now, finally, after 4 years of disorder, we have a law and order president. Come on, Lady Gaga. Come on. You can do better than that. It is 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We'll talk to Governor DeSantis coming up in 20 minutes right here on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. It is 8:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is Thursday. Terrible, tragic story continues to unfold. Midair collision, Reagan International Airport, actually happened around 9 p.m. last night. This was a regional jet carrying 63 people from Wichita, Kansas, and it collided with a military Army helicopter, Black Hawk, and they don't believe there's any survivors from that. Just an awful scene, and we'll get further details as the day goes along in the light of day and they start to investigate further. But sad day. Prayers for the families of all involved for sure. And President Trump's already thanked the first responders for their diligent work. That unfortunately sounds like there was nothing to, they didn't have much to work with in terms of trying to save lives. It's terrible. CIA Director John Ratcliffe hopes his close relationship with Trump's nominee to lead the FBI, Kash Patel, will help lead to deeper cooperation between the intelligence and law enforcement behemoths. He hopes that there's a renewed cooperation between the CIA and the FBI under his and Patel's leadership of the respective agencies, and it might lead to better results for the American people. I mean, let's hope so. Let's hope so. And that relationship, you want it to be a good one, but you also want it to be a straight one. In other words, you don't want a couple of rogue CIA guys hanging out with some rogue FBI guys. That is extremely problematic. So each individual in their lanes, they're going to have to try to clean up the mess the best they can. And they're going to have to try to weed out some of these people that are, acting out politically and have aligned themselves that way, because there's no really, in real law enforcement and investigations, you want as little of that as possible. And I mean, that goes for whichever side of the fence you're sitting on. You should want that. Finally, I say, this is filed under finally, former Senator Bob Menendez has been sentenced to 11 years in prison for his proven corruption after being found guilty of 16 federal charges. And Menendez, who prosecutors said accepted bribes of hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, gold bars, mortgage payments, and more, unsuccessfully pleaded not guilty to those charges that included bribery, fraud, acting as a foreign agent, obstruction, all part of it. The ex-senator was sentenced along with two co-conspirators, New Jersey businessman Wal Hanna and Fred Davis, who received more than 7 years and 8 years respectively. In exchange for the money and luxury items, prosecutors said Democrat lawmaker agreed and promised to use his power and influence as a senator to seek to protect his co-conspirators, including taking actions to benefit the governments of Egypt and Qatar on their behalf. Wow. Yeah, I mean, doesn't that really, again, that borders on possible treasonous activity. I don't know all the details of all of it. I just know that they've been chasing him and his dirty ways for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really, as long as I've been doing talk radio, I remember. Yep. Well, I mean, it's gone on and on and on, but okay, let's go to 2013. Menendez finally admitted to traveling to the Dominican Republic on a private plane several times at the expense of, so you're not supposed to do that, but claimed any allegations of engaging with prostitutes are manufactured by a politically motivated right-wing blog and are false. But that, you know, raised some eyebrows, and, you know, the feds continue to work on it. 2015, they brought him up on charges and stuff like that, and somehow he kind of weaseled and wormed his way out of that. But finally, here we are. Wow. Justice, I guess, finally coming with an 11-year sentence.
Yeah.
Menendez. I mean, I just...
You mean you don't have, like, loads of gold bars and you're safe at home, Bob? Just, like, stacked up just in case? I mean, you never know when they're going to come in handy. You know, people like to invest in gold.
If I did have those, A, I wouldn't talk about it. B, I would hope that I've attained those in a legal fashion.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Legal. Now you're getting picky.
Yeah. Well, all you got to do is get us syndicated, Greg. We'll both be rich. Sure. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, really. I'll get right on
that. Yeah. I mean, if you can get the governor on the show, we can do that.
Okay. And we will, just a few minutes away.
In fact, we are going to talk to Governor DeSantis in about 10 minutes right here on the Bob Rose Show. This contentious situation in Tallahassee where he was given what appears to be a weak immigration bill, and they put Trump's name on it. And they want to take a lot of power away from the governor's office and put the whole immigration czar kind of thing title under the ag commissioner. Which, in some ways, you would kind of have the, you know, who's guarding the hen house there? If you're big in ag, what's, you know, what is ag constantly? What's they were looking for cheap labor, and they strive to keep labor costs down. That's not a terrible thing, but what are you willing to do for that? Shouldn't break the law.
Mm-hmm.
And just having weak immigration laws is not the answer. Have strong immigration laws and then work through a process of work permits and work visas. That's how you get that done. And it can be done that way. We know it can be done that way. All right. So we've got that coming up. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., man, oh, man. If you didn't see the way he was attacked yesterday, it's difficult to really... Well, let's go with cut five, Senator Warren, and she unleashed several times. This is just one of them.
No one should be fooled here. As Secretary of HHS, Robert Kennedy will have the power to undercut vaccines and vaccine manufacturing across our country. And for all of his talk about follow the science and his promise that he won't interfere with those of us who want to vaccinate his kids, the bottom line is the same. Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it.
And meanwhile, Senator Warren collected over $4 million for her presidential campaign from pharmaceutical and healthcare companies.
Wow.
And that's fact, Jack.
Wow.
Governor DeSantis will be on the air with us coming up. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, wherever you normally download your podcast. Simply click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Happy Thursday.